Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksuvas daf Samach Aleph. For those listening online, this is not Rabbi Leibowitz. This is Alicia Graff filling in. My Reinu is on his way to Chicago now for a wedding, is hopefully coming back tonight. I give him Berachas Kohen. He should be able to come back tonight so that tomorrow morning we could all listen to him again and not me on very little preparation. Today's daf is a very interesting daf. We're going to cover a whole bunch of topics. We're going to start on the bottom of Samach Amud Beis, four lines up from the bottom at the two dots, with a discussion of the characteristics that kids are going to have depending on the circumstances in which the parents of the child had tashmish. I don't really understand this Gemara. I'm sure that there is some interpretation, but depending on the circumstances around the tashmish that gave rise to the conception of the child may have different characteristics. We're then going to continue with the discussion that we began with yesterday, that the various tasks that a woman is supposed to perform around the house for her husband and certain tasks that she is absolved from performing depending on how many shvachos she brings into the marriage, right? So she's supposed to do a whole bunch of things for the husband, but if she brings a whole bunch of maidservants into the marriage to perform those services on her behalf, she has to do fewer chores around the house. However, we're going to see that she should not be sitting totally idle, because sitting totally idle is a very, very bad, thing to do. It leads to znus, it leads to going crazy, and therefore she should always make sure that she should do something, even if she brings a bunch of different maidservants into the marriage who are actually capable of performing the house chores for her. One of the things that the woman is supposed to perform for her husband is mezigas kos and also atzas amita. So in that discussion, we're going to talk a little bit about the harchakos of nida, the harchakos that we observe during the yemei nida, that that a woman is not supposed to do for a husband while she's in nida. And because one of the things is mezigas kos, we're going to talk about the sugya of whether one has to provide for shamashim, one has to provide for waiters to eat before the rest of the assembled guests eat. Whether a person can wait to give the waiter food or whether a person has to serve the waiter right away. Then we're going to get to a Mishnah in the middle of Samach Aleph Amud Beis, and that Mishnah is going to talk about a person who decides that he's going to take a neder that he's not able to benefit from, he's not able to have ana from tashmish with his wife. How long we let this guy stay married to his wife before we ultimately force him to divorce her? Because one of the things that a person is obligated to give to his wife, it's she'er ksus and ona. Ona is marital relations, is tashmish. A person is not allowed to say that he's never going to sleep with his wife. So the question is, how long do we give him? We're going to see machlokas beishamai betzul. We're going to try to connect it to another machlokas about a guy who says that he's not going to support his wife. How long we let them stay married as well? That's going to take us to the end of today's daf. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. Also, Le'ila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Le'ashalom. And we thank Dr. Lander for his continued sponsorship. So again, we left off, the rabbi left off yesterday, Samach Amud Beis, four lines up from the bottom at the two dots. So says the Gemara as follows, the Mishamsha Berechaya, if a person has tashmish, if a couple has tashmish near a mill, Havile B'nei Nachvi, then they're going to have children who are epileptic. The Mishamsha Al Ara, if they have tashmish on the ground as opposed to on a bed, Havile B'nei Shimute, they're going to have children who are B'nei Shimute. Rashi explains that this is children with elongated necks, and that's considered to be a bal mum if the neck is too long. So if you have tashmish on the ground, the kids are going to be bali mum, they're going to have long necks. The darchal rama dechamra, if a woman walks on the dung of a donkey, havale b'nei girdani, she's going to have children who lose their hair. The achlo chardala, if the woman eats mustard seed, havale b'nei zalzani, she's going to have children who are gluttonous. The achla tichli, if she eats cress when she's pregnant, havile b'nei dolfani, she's going to have children who are teary-eyed. The achla manuni, if a woman eats small fish, havile b'nei mitzitze eine, she's going to have children with fluttering eyelashes or eyelids. The achla gargushta, if a person eats clay, havile b'nei mucha ha'areis, she's going to have ugly children. The shashi shikra, if a person drinks beer when she's pregnant, not advisable according to the Surgeon General, but according to the Talmud, she could drink beer when she's pregnant. Havile b'nei uchme, she's going to have children with a dark complexion. The achla bisra v'shasi chamra, if she eats meat and she drinks wine, havile b'nei barya, she's going to have healthy kids. So finally, we get to the strategy that a woman should adopt when she's pregnant to have healthy children: eating meat and drinking wine. The achlebeya, if she eats eggs, havile b'nei inane, she's going to have children with large eyes. The achla kvari kavri, if she eats fish, havile b'nei chinuna, she's going to have charming children. The achla karpasta, if she eats celery, havile b'nei ziyusani, she's going to have children who are radiant. The achla kusbarta, if she eats coriander, havile b'nei bisrani, she's going to have fat children. And the achla esroga, if she eats an esrog when she's pregnant, havile b'nei rechani, she's going to have fragrant children. They're going to smell nice, just like an esrog smells nice, so too these kids are going to have a very pleasing odor as well. Barte the shavar malka, the mother, the daughter of Shavar Malka, Achla ba ima esroga, her mother, in other words, Shavar Malka's wife, ate esrog while she was pregnant with their daughter. And her father used to put her at the head of the fragrances, meaning that this kiyum in the Gemara was fulfilled, that because the mother ate esrog when she was pregnant with the child wound up being a very fragrant smelling person. So says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rav Huna, Badaklon Rav Huna Bar Chinina. So they tested Rav Huna Bar Chinina with the following shaila. He omeris lahanik, if she says, let's say, now we're back to the discussion that we had yesterday about nursing a child. So she says that she wants to nurse her child. Bu omer shalolahanik, and he says that, no, I don't want you to nurse your child. I don't want you to nurse our child. So shomen la, then we listen to her. Why? Because sare didahu, because it's her tsar. What does it mean it's her tsar? So two interpretations. Rashi says it's her physical tsar because she's building up milk and it hurts her unless she can express the milk, and therefore she wants to nurse, and it's not his business to tell her what she's allowed to do and what she's not allowed to do. It's her tsar, it's her body, and therefore she's allowed to do what she wants, and therefore she's allowed to nurse the child. The Rambam says we're not only talking about physical tsar, we're also talking about emotional tsar. That if she wants to nurse the baby, it's obviously because she wants to foster an emotional connection with the baby. And if she wants to foster an emotional connection with the baby, it's very cruel for the husband to say, no, you can't nurse the baby, because it's causing her emotional distress. So either way, whether it's a physical distress or an emotional distress, if she says she wants to nurse, and it's the husband who says, no, I don't want you to nurse, we obviously listen to her. Now, hu omer lahanik, if he says, I want you to nurse, v'hi omeres shalolahanik, and she says she doesn't want to nurse the child, then mahu. So what's the halacha in that case? So kolei chadalav urcha, if it's not her manner, if it's not her custom to nurse the child, what does it mean, not her custom? Let's say this is the first child. How do we know what the custom is? What it means is, if it's not the custom in her family to nurse their babies, because in the times of the Gemara, if a family was very wealthy, then they would hire a wet nurse in order to nurse the baby. The woman, the mother, wouldn't have to nurse the baby herself. So what we're saying is, if she comes from a very well-to-do family, and it's the minig in that family that they hire a wet nurse so that the mother doesn't have to nurse the baby, then shomen la, then we're going to listen to her, because she comes from a wealthy family, and therefore we're not going to force her to nurse the baby. However, shomen la, he urcha v'hu lav urchei. However, let's say it's her derech to hire somebody to nurse the baby, v'hu lav urchei, but it's not the derech in his family to hire somebody to nurse the baby. So what's the halacha now? So basar didei azlinan, so do we follow the minig in the husband's family? O basar didei azlinan, or do we follow the minig in the wife's family? Upashtina la meha, and we are poshet this kasha from the following. Ole imo ve'eno yaredes imo. That he is Ola, that she is Ola with him, and she is not Yored, and she is not Yored with, and she is not Yored with him. And therefore, what it means is that the woman ascends to the status of the husband, but she doesn't descend to a status. Meaning, if it's the minig in her family to hire somebody to nurse babies, even if it's not the minig in his family, then we're going to let her hire somebody to nurse the baby because Eina Yoredes Imo. She doesn't have to descend to his standard of living. However, Ola Imo, she does ascend to his standard of living. And therefore, if it's not the derech in her family to hire wet nurses, but it is the minig in his family to hire wet nurses, then she ascends to his level and we allow her to hire a wet nurse in order to nurse the baby. So Amar Rav Huna Mikra, so what's the makar in the pasuk for the fact that the woman ascends to the level of her husband but doesn't have to descend, doesn't have to stoop to his level if he grew up in a lower level than she did? So says the Gemara, quoting a pasuk, Vihi Bu'ulas Baal. It says Vihi Bu'ulas Baal, literally it means Bu'ulas Baal, that they had marital relations, but the Gemara makes a drasha now, Baliyoso Shel Baal, V'lo Bi'iridoso Shel Baal. Bu'ulas Baal means that she ascends to his level, but she doesn't descend to his level. Rabbi Lazar Mameacha, Rabbi Lazar says it's from the following pasuk, Ki hi hoysa Eim Kol Chai, that Chava was the Eim Kol Chai, L'chayim Nitna V'lo L'tzar Nitna. In other words, this whole relationship is supposed to foster chayim. It's supposed to foster vitality and rising up to a level. It's not supposed to be for tsar. In other words, if you get married, it's not supposed to be that the woman is supposed to descend to the level of her husband. Rather, she maintains her own level if that's what she's used to from her family, from her upbringing. But she goes up to the level of her husband if the husband has a higher standard of living. Okay, says the Gemara now, Viter. Now we're going to talk about with the chores that a woman has to do around the house and whether she's exempt from performing some of those chores depending on how many maidservants she brings in to the marriage. So says the Gemara, Chnisa lo shifcha. So we said in the Mishnah that if she brings in a shifcha to the marriage, then she doesn't have to bake for him and she doesn't have to do laundry for him. So says the Gemara, Hashara avda. But it's mashma that the other chores around the house, all the other chores mentioned in the Mishnah, that she does have to do. V'temalei, I like to look isasa b'charikai. But why does she have to do any chores? In other words, let's say they're not very wealthy and she doesn't bring in any maidservants to the marriage. So what would the halacha be? So if there's no maidservants that's brought into the marriage, the halacha would be that the wife has to perform all of the house chores. So if that's the case, when the wife brings in a maidservant, why is it that she has to perform any of the chores? Let her just say, if it was just me, I would have to perform all the chores. Now I'm bringing in a maidservant. Let the housekeeper perform all the chores. Why does the wife have to do anything? So says the Gemara, Mishum d'amar la ha-tarcha l'didi l'didach, ha-mei didach ma-antarach. Because husband could say, no, the one woman, one person is capable enough, a man would never be capable for this, but one woman is capable enough to do the house chores for everybody, for two people. She could do it for herself and she could do it for the husband. But if the woman brings in a maidservant, so the maidservant is going to be able to do the chores for herself and the husband, but she's not going to be able to do the chores for the wife also. So the wife is going to have to do chores because the maidservant can only do the chores for two people. And therefore, the wife is going to have to pitch in and help out around the house as well. Now, the Gemara had said, Vaiter, that Shnayim, Einam Bavashelas, Veinam Enika, that if she brings in two maidservants, then not only does she not have to bake and do laundry, but she also doesn't have to cook and she doesn't have to nurse the child. And the Gemara again makes the same dia, Kashara Avda, but she has to do the rest of the chores. But frak the Gemara, Vetemale, Ailtale, Itzasach, Achrite, Tatarcha, Lididio, Lidida, Fechada, Lididacha, Lidida. So why doesn't she say, until now when I had only one maidservant, you said, oh, she was only good for herself and for you, but not for me. Well, now I brought in a second maidservant. So one maidservant is going to be good for herself and for you. The second maidservant is going to be good for herself and for me. So why does she have to do anything? Says the Gemara, Mishum Damar Lai Kamei Urchi Yaparchi Mantarach. Because he's going to say, well, who's going to tend to the guests? Every house is a house of Achnasas Archim. There are always going to be guests. Urche are long-term guests, and parche are passers-by. Those are short-term guests. So the point is that the woman is going to have to do chores around the house, nevertheless, even if she brings in two maidservants, because the maidservants are going to be able to toil on behalf of the husband and the wife. But who's going to toil on behalf of the guest? That's going to have to be the wife, who's going to have to do some supplementary housework. However, the Gemara then said, quoting from the Mishnah, Shalosh Einam Atzeis Hamita, If she brings in three maidservants, then she doesn't have to make the beds either. So, Hotzas Amita, this actually refers to like a setting up of the beds, which is a bigger tircha than Stam spreading out the sheets, what we would consider making the beds, because we're going to get to what we call making the beds a little bit later in the Gemara, or we're going to say she does have to do that, but what we're talking is some more involved type of setting up a bed. Hashara Avda, so she doesn't have to set up a bed, but again, she has to do the rest of the work. But why doesn't she say, listen, when I brought in one maidservant, you said now there was nobody to do work for me. Now I brought in a second maidservant, so I covered myself as well as you and both maidservants. But you told me that there was nobody to do work for the guests. So I brought in a third maidservant who was able to do work for the guests. So why do I have to do any work now, she's going to say, if she brings in three maidservants? So Mishum Damar Le Nafesh B'nei Beisi Nafesh Uchir Parche. Nah, because the bigger the household, the more guests there are. So the third maidservant might be able to do the work for some of the guests, but we're going to have so many guests that you're going to have to perform some work as well. Says the Gemara, Iyachi Afilu Arbanami. But then why is there a limit? In other words, no matter how many maidservants she brings in, the husband could continue saying, could keep on saying, well, the household is now so big because we have so many maidservants and there's so many people in the house. There's such a capacity to do Hachnasas Archam and Gemilas Chasadim in the house. We're going to have so many guests. There should always be too many guests for all of the maidservants to tend to. So why is it that she could ever stop doing work? Says the Gemara, Arba, Kivam Dinafichi Luhu Misayana Adadi. Because once you have four maidservants, that's already not a housekeeper. That's a staff. So if you have a whole staff of maidservants, they're going to figure it out among themselves. The woman is not going to have to do any real housework in order to tend to the guests. So I'm Rav Chana v'Yisema Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, lo echnisa lo mamish. And when we say that she brings in a maidservant, it doesn't even mean that she physically brings a maidservant with her. Elokiven shiru'i lahachnes afal pi shelo echnisa. It means that if she's ro'i to be machnes, meaning if her nedunya, if her dowry is big enough that they could hire a maidservant, then they're obligated to hire a maidservant and she cannot be forced to do the chores that she would otherwise have to do. And Tana, echad shechnisa lo, ve'echad shetzimtzima lo mishela. That it doesn't matter whether she is able to hire these maidservants with her own money within a dunya, or whether she's able to scrimp with whatever money she has, then it's still the same halacha. If she's ultimately able to afford the maidservant because she's resourceful, even if it's not a result of her dowry, she still won't have to do the chores. What does it mean, simtsima? So if you look in Tosfos over here, the second Tosfos, it says, va'achash et simtsu lo mishala, garsina perish simtsima lo mamish, shehu chayev liten lo kamo kupa shel besamim v'shar dvarim. In other words, the husband is required to provide certain little trinkets for his wife, like perfume and stuff. It's simsim a kol kach sheyocha liklos mizek hamashvachos, and she is so resourceful. She is so precise with her use of the besamim, with the use of perfume, that even in that meager allowance, she's able to save and save and save until she's finally able to purchase a maidservant for herself. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. V'yish garsim shematza lo mishalo klomar shu usher sheyocha liknos harbe shvachos kavitzarcha. No, the other garsim tells us is not that she's scrimping with the meager money that he provides in order for her to buy perfume. What it means is, if they're wealthy enough that they could afford to hire a bunch of help for the house, then she shouldn't be forced to do the house chores. And that doesn't matter, says the Gemara, whether they're wealthy enough because she brings in $1 million dowry, or whether they're wealthy enough because the guy who she married happens to be independently wealthy, forgetting about the dowry that she brought in. Whether it's his money, whether it's her money, if they're able to afford the housekeepers, then she shouldn't have to do the work around the house. So says Tosfos. Says the Gemara, Viter. Again, we're about five lines up from where they get a little bit wider. Arba Yosheves Bekadarta. If she brings in four maidservants, as we saw, she doesn't have to perform any house chores. She could sit in her easy chair and just kick her feet up and she can relax. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Chinana, Amar Rav Bar Chananya, Amar Rav Huna, Afal Pi Shomer Yosheves Bekadarta, even though we said that she could sit in an easy chair, Aval, there were certain things that she has to do for her husband. Mozeges Lokos, she has to mix for him his drink, Umatzas Lo Asamita, and she has to make his bed, and that's why I said that making the bed is not like making the bed that we said earlier, because making the bed that we said earlier, we said if she brings a maidservant, she doesn't have to do. That's a manual labor type of setting up a bed. Here it just means spreading the bedspread, what we consider to be making the bed, Omar Chetzas Lo Panav Yada Viraglo, and she has to wash his hands, feet, and face. And Rashi explains over here, by Avo Mozeges Lokos, Matsas Lo Asamita, Rashi is about a quarter of the way down the page. He says over here, Lifrosodin, Ulavadin, Dover Shena Tareach. It means to make the bed, to make the bedspread neat. She'eno Tareach. It's not manual labor. Umishem Demile Dechiba Ninu. And these are Mile Dechiba. In other words, it's a sign of endearment. It's a sign that she is serving her husband, and it's going to foster a close connection between the husband and the wife. That's talking about setting up a bed physically with manual labor. And Rashi says further, we're not actually going to force her to do any of this stuff. Nobody's going to force her to make the bed nicely. Nobody's going to force her to mix the coast. Nobody's going to force her to do anything. Rashi says, we're giving her an Eitzah Tovah. In other words, even if you bring in enough resources that you don't have to do anything for your husband, it's good advice to try to do at least something to show affection. And the way that they would show affection in the times of the Gemara is that she would mix him his cup. She would basically tend to his basic needs. And that's a show of affection. And Rashi says that will foster the connection between the husband and the wife. And it's a kedai thing. It's a kedai thing to do. So says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Chananya, Amar Rav Huna, Kol Malacha She'isha Osa Labala, all the malachos that a woman does for her husband, Nida Osa Labala, a Nida could do for a husband as well, Chutz Mimizigas Akos, V'atzoas Amita, V'archatzas Panav Yada V'raglav. They accept for Mizikas Akos, Atzoas Amita, V'archatzas Panav Yada V'raglav. Why? Because Rashi had just told us that these three things are Dvarim Shel Chiba. And if they're Dvarim Shel Chiba, then when the wife is an Ida, we don't want to foster too much Chiba because we're afraid that that might come, that one thing might lead to another, and it's Aser because she's an Ida. So says the Gemara of Atzoas Amita, and the Atzoas Amita that we said is Aser during the time that she's an Ida, because it's a Dover Shel Chiba, Amar Rava lo Amran Ela Bafanav, Ela Shel Bafanav Les Lamba. That's only if she's busy making the bed in his presence, because if she's around the bed in his presence, and she's ushered him because she's an Ida, that's not advisable, because you don't want to, he shouldn't see his wife making the bed. However, if he goes off to work, then the wife is allowed to make his bed when he's at work, even though she's an Ida, because he's not around, therefore it's not going to be a problem. Okay, says the Gemara now, Vayter, two dots. This is the second medium-sized, the last medium-sized line. Umezigas hakos, into the first wide line. So, and one of the things that she's not supposed to do when she's in Ida is to mix his drink. So Shmuel mechalfele debisu biyada desmale. So Shmuel's wife, when she was in Ida, would pass the cup in her left hand. Abaya manchila pume dekuva. Abaya's wife would place the cup on the top of a jug. Rava Abe Sadia, Rava's wife would place a cup on top of a pillow and then give it to him that way. Rav Papa Arshashifa, Rav Papa's wife would put the cup on a stool and then give it to him that way. In other words, all of these Amoraim, what their wives would do is the issue is passing the cup from one to the other. That the husband, the wife is not supposed to pass a cup to her husband when she's an Ida. So all of the wives of these Amoraim, they would devise a specific way. This is basically like a hecker, that when she's an Ida, they wouldn't pass directly from hand to hand, but they would place the object down in the middle. And then the husband would pick it up. And that way, it was going to be mutter. Now, when would they do this? So they would do this. So if you look in Rashi, so it says, Michlafale, this Rashi is about halfway down. So when would the wives of the Amoraim do these tricks that they would put the cup down and then the husband would take the cup, but they would avoid passing from hand to hand? Bimei Livuna, says Rashi. That's only Bimei Livuna, meaning during the days of Shiva Nikiyim. which is mashma from Rashi, that they would not be able to conduct themselves in that manner during the actual Yemei Nida. Only during the Shiva Nekiyim would they do that, but during the Yemei Nida, it would be usur to do that. If you look in Tosfos over here, Tosfos Dibra Maschil Michlafa Debisu Biyadid the Smalei the Machzor Vitzuri Perish Harav Rav Shmaya Shainizer Rashi Afilish Lalite Maftechas Miyada Liyada that Rashi would take care not even to pass a key from hand to hand the Mikanein Raya. But over here there's no Raya. The Shani Mizikas Koshu Davar Shal Chiba. In other words, the fact that they wouldn't pass a cup from one to the other doesn't necessarily mean that you can't pass somebody a key or like a bag of groceries. Because again, what we had said was that Mizikas Akosh. So we want to avoid passing from hand to hand. And therefore, if it's a davar shel chiba, it should be usur even to do it on the to put it on the table. Elo lamar manchalei abay lebeisodi lamar apume dekuba mesader umesader. So let's skip a little bit in Tosfos because over here he goes into another maisa having to do with our chakos, but we have to make sure to finish the daf, so we don't have time to finish this Tosfos. But all the way at the end, Tosfos says that it used to be that a woman would actually be tovel twice, that a woman would be tovel after her Yermei Nida, and then she would count Shiva Nekiyim, and then she would be tovel after the Shiva Nekiyim as well. So says Tosfos that Rashi's pshat, that all of the wives of the Amoraim used to conduct themselves in this manner, bimei livuna, the reason that Rashi would distinguish between the Yemei Nida and the Shiva Nekiyim is because she would actually go to the mikveh after the Yemei Nida. So between the Yemei Nida and the Shiva Nekiyim, she would go to the mikveh. And therefore, it makes sense that there's a different halacha applies during the Shiva Nekiyim than that which applies during the Yemei Nida. Says Tosfos at the end, however, by us, our minig is that our wives only go to the mikveh after the Shiva Nekiyim. They don't go to the mikveh between the Yemei Nida when the actual Nida stops and the Shiva Nekiyim. So our wives, if they go to the mikveh only after the Shiva Nekiyim, then the same halachas that would apply during the Shiva Nekiyim also apply during the Yemei Nidos. And therefore, says Tosfos, it would come out that this trick of passing a cup and putting it down on an object so that you're not passing from hand to hand would apply both during the Yemei Livuna as well as the Yemei Nidos Mamish. Okay, says now the Gemara, second wide line. That you're allowed to basically make a waiter wait in order to get food to eat, chutz mi basar v'yayin, except for basar and yayin, because that's going to cause him a lot of tsar if you force him to wait until after all the guests eat basar and yayin. Amrav chista basar shamein v'yayin yashem. We're talking about fatty meat and old wine, which is very pungent, and it's going to cause the waiter to develop hunger pains. Amarava basar shamein kol hashana, basar shamein all year round. You have to give the waiter first kula yayin, yayin yashem tkufas tamas, and yayin yashem and tkufas tamas, where it's a very pungent aroma. You better give the waiter first, otherwise he's going to have these very painful hunger pangs if you don't give him to eat and drink right away. So Amarav anan bar tachlifa vaykimna kamei de mar Shmuel. I was in front of mar Shmuel v'aisa. And he brought out a tafshil of mushrooms, and if he wouldn't have given me the tafshil of mushrooms right away, the smell was so delicious, istakanti, I would have been in a makam sakana. So it's not only fatty meat and fine wine, but anything, if you smell a food with such a fine aroma, and you're craving it, it's very important to get it right away. Some Rav Ashi, Avikimna Kameh, the Rav Kahana, Vaisli Gargalide de Lifta, Bechala, they brought even simple turnip heads and vinegar, Vivav the Yoavli, and if I wouldn't have gotten right away, Istakanti, I would have been in a Sakana. Rav Papa, Rafilu, Tarmata de Nanusa, even a fatty date. In other words, Klo de Milsa, Kol de Islay Rechav, Islay Kiyua, anything that has a savory taste and a pungent odor, you better give to eat right away. Otherwise, it's going to come to sakana if you cause a person to withhold from eating after their sensory awareness is triggered by the scent of the food. Avur Bar-I and Binyamin Bar-I, there were these two brothers, Avur Bar-I and Binyamin Bar-I, Chad Safi Mikol Mina Yamina, V'chad Safi Mechad Mina. They would conduct themselves in different ways when they had a meal with waiter service. So one of them would give the waiter from each type of food before the waiter had to serve the assembled guests, and the other would give the waiter only from one type of food. So it turns out that Mar Mishto Elio Badei, Umar Lo Mishto Elio Badei. One was Zocha that Elio came to visit him, and the other one was not Zocha that Elio came to visit him. The Ian Yaakov explains that Elio comes to visit only somebody who goes even with Nimishur Sadin. So the one brother who gave the waiter only one type of food to eat, he practiced the halacha that you're not supposed to make the waiter wait. But he didn't go with Nimishur Sadin, therefore he wasn't Zocha to be Mekabel Pnei Elio. The other one who gave the waiter every type of food to eat, he went lefnim mishur sadin, and therefore he was okay, he was able to receive Elio's presence. Hanu tartin chaside, there were two chaside, Marmila, Rav Mori, Rav Pinchas, b'nei Rav Chista, that again, two brothers, Mar Kodim Safi, Mar Me'achar Safi. One gave the waiter first, one gave the waiter last. The Kodim Safi, Elio Mishtoi Ba'adei, the Me'achar Safi, Lo Mishtoi Elio Ba'adei. In other words, and again, the one who was very, very compassionate and gave the waiters to eat first, Elio came to visit him, and the one who didn't give the waiters to eat first, Elio did not come to visit him. Ameimar Mezuchra for Ravashi, an incredible story the Gemara tells. Ameimar Mezuchra and Ravashi, Havakiyosvi Apischa Debe Asgar Malka. They were sitting at the gate of Asgar Malka. Asgar was the name of a Persian king, says Rashi. So Chalaf Yazel Aturnaga de Malka, so a steward of the king passed by. Chazi Ravashi le Marzutra, and Ravashi noticed that Marzutra, the Chavar Abe, turning to Samach Aleph on the base, that he became pale. Why did he become pale? And Rashi says, Panav Zoafim Shinet Avila Michael, because the waiter passed by, the steward of the king passed by with a piping hot dish of food, and Ravashi saw that Marzutra smelled the food and he was craving the food. He had a hunger pang. So Shakal Bet Spoisei, so Ravashi took his finger, stuck it in the food, and Anachle Bapume, and he put it in Marzutra's mouth. So the Mefarshim are bothered, how in the world did he stick his finger in the food and put it in Marzutra's mouth? This king was a Persian king. Mestama, he wasn't eating kosher food. We're going to see in the Gemara right away. It was very not kosher food. So how was it that Ravashi was able to stick his finger in Marzutra's mouth? So the Marshal explains it must be that because Rav Ashi perceived that Marzutra was in a makam sakana, he felt that it was mutter for him to be to'aim not kosher food, even though it would have been usher for him to eat not kosher food. Stop putting the food in his mouth wouldn't be a problem, but sitting down and eating it, that would be a problem. But Amar Leh, so in other words, so the waiter's passing by, he's going to bring this beautiful dish presented to the king, and Rav Ashi comes and sticks his finger into the food. So the waiter gets very upset. Amar Leh, Efsadta Lusuda Sadamalka. He said, you're ruining the king's meal. So Amar Leh, so they said to him, Amayti Avadachi, why would you do this? So Amar Lehu, Mandi Avadachi, Pasul Amachal Damalka. So Rav Ashi said to him, a person who serves food like this to the king, it's terrible. So Amar Leh, Amai. So the guy says, what are you talking about? All I'm doing is I'm bringing the food to the king. What do you see in this food that's so bad that you're saying I shouldn't be bringing it to the king? So Amar Lehu, Davar Acher Chazoi Bey. So he says, I see Davar Acher. So throughout Shas, Davar Acher can mean the unspoken, the unspeakable. So what is it? It's either usually pig, or it could be tsaras, or it could be znus. So here Rashi says, it's a double whammy. I saw meat of a pig that had tsaras. So it was two things. So he saw tsaras, chazer meat, chazer flesh, in this dish. So bodkov lo ashkechu. So the steward said, really, I was going to feed the king leprous pig meat? So he checked. He didn't find it in there. Shakal etzboi anchele. So Ravashi took the steward's finger and pointed it to a specific place in the tavshil. And Amarlu, achami bediktu. Did you check over here? So bodku ashkechu. So they checked in that place where Ravashi directed the waiter's finger, and they found leprous chazer meat. So Amarli Rabbana, my time of samachta anisa. So they said to Ravashi, well, how can it be that you're somech an anes? But I thought ain't somech an anes. You knew quite well that there was no leprous pig meat in this dish. How could you do that? So Amralu Chazoi Ruach Tsarasa the Kaparchi Ilave. Now, because I saw a Ruach Tsaras, that was floating. So what does it mean, a Ruach Tsaras that was floating? So there were some who explained that Ravashi saw a Ruach Tsaras on the Michael, and therefore it wasn't an ace. In other words, how did Ravashi know that there was Tsaras? Because he saw the Ruach Tsaras around the Michael. So it wasn't that he was relying on an ace, and whoops, all of a sudden there was leprous pig meat. He saw a Ruach Tsaras. Others say that no, what happened was he saw a Ruach Tsaras on Marzutra, that he was afraid Marzutra was going to come into a position of sakana, and therefore he was able to be somech alanes. So this machlokas is a very important machlokas, because the machlokas turns on, was it an ace or not? If he saw Ruach Tsaras in the food, then it wasn't an ace, because he saw the Ruach Tsaras. If it was Ruach Tsaras and he saw Marzutra, then it turns out that it was an ace, when he pointed the guy's finger and said, oh, did you check here? And this would turn out to be a raya. And the Chasam Sofer brings this as a raya, that if there is a makam sakana, then even though ordinarily we say in some chanal anes, in a makam sakana, you're allowed to be somech on anes. And he brings a raya from this sugya over here on the conduct of Rav Ashi. Okay, says the Gemara Navaitar, Hu Rama, there was a Roman person, the Amar Leilai Yitzisai, said to a woman, Menasfali, marry me. So Amrale, no, not interested, didn't want to accept his proposal. So also I say Rimni, so the guy took a bunch of pomegranates, Poli, he split them, the Achel Kaman, he was eating in front of her. Kol Maya the Tsari La Balate, and she was salivating for these pomegranates. They look so good and refreshing, but whenever she was salivating, she would swallow her saliva. Velo Havle Adazagla, and he didn't give her to eat until she was so bloated from hunger that her stomach turned translucent somehow. So Lasof Amarla, so later he said to her, if I heal you, will you marry me? At first, she didn't want to accept his proposal, but now he's forcing her hand. So Amarlay, and she said, yeah, if you heal me, I'll marry you. So Azal Isa Rimni, so he brought more pomegranates, Pali, he split them open. Viachal Kaman, he was eating in front of her. And Amarlay, he directed her, call Maya the Tsari Lacha, anytime that you're salivating because you're craving these pomegranates, Tov Shadoi, instead of swallowing your saliva, spit it out. So adenafka mine kihutza yarka vasisas, until something resembling a green palm leaf shot out from her, and she was then healed. And mistama, she then had to marry him. So viosa, very romantic proposal. Viosa betsemer, and she has to do needlework. So betsemer in bepishchen lo. So the diuk that the Gemara makes is that she has to work with wool, but not with flax. So Mazdisa Mani, so who's our Mishnah? Like Rav Yudi, this is our Mishnah, this is Rav Yudi, the Tanya, Eina Kofelo Lama Lefnei Aviv Lo Lefnei Beno, that a husband cannot force his wife to stand up in front of his father or in front of his son, Velo Lita and Tevin Lefnei Behemto, nor can he force her to put Tevin, to put straw in front of his behema, Avol Kofel Lita and Tevin Lefnei Bakaro, but he is able to force her to put straw in front of his bakar, in front of his, like, small livestock. Now, why is it that he's not able to force the wife to put Tevin in front of his large livestock, but he is able to force her to put Tevin in front of the small livestock? So the answer is, says Rashi, because the large livestock has a taiva for bestiality, and therefore we're afraid that something untoward is going to happen with the wife and the large livestock, but we're not afraid of that with a smaller livestock. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and here's the Rabbi Yehuda that we're saying our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afein akofalasos bepishtam, we also don't force her to work with flax, memnesha pishtam asriya chasapeh, because it causes the mouth to smell foul, and it swells the lips. Why? Because when you work with flax, you have to keep licking it. And because you keep passing it through your mouth, your lips get swollen and your mouth starts smelling foul like the flax. Vanili mili bekisna rama, that's only by kisna rama. However, by regular flax, not such a big deal. Rav Elezer Omer, afilu achnisul amei shvachos, Rav Elezer says that even if she brings in 100 shvachos, nevertheless, the husband can still force her to do this needlework, to work with wool, because if she doesn't do anything, she is going to ultimately wind up practicing znus. So Amar Rav Malkiyo. So Rav Malkiyo says, Amar Rav Ada Barahava, Halacha Rabbi Eliezer. The halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. So Amar Rav Chanina, Breid Rav Ika, famous Gemara, Shpud, Shfachos, Vegumos, Rav Malkiyo, The halachos of shvud, shvachos, and gumos, so very quickly, shvud is whether a spit that was used to roast meat is going to be muktzah to move on yantif. Shvachos is the case over here, where even if a woman brings in 100 shvachos, she still has to do needlework. Gumos means, ordinarily, a person reaches the stage of gadlus when they're shtei saros. What happens if there were two pores, but no hairs coming out of those pores? So gumos, according to Rav Malkia, was also a simon of gadlus. Blores, however, the blores, the type of idolatrous haircut that they would give, and how much short of that haircut a barber has to stop before violating, before assisting somebody in getting an idolatrous haircut. Efer mikla, using efer mikla as a healing agent, because if you put efer in a person's wound, the skin is gonna take on some of the pigment of the efer, and it's gonna look a little bit like a tattoo. Vigvina and cheese, gvinas akam, Rav Malkia. So there were these two Amaram. There was Rav Malkia and Rav Malkia. Their names sound similar, but they were each the baal of these three different mamarim. Rav Papa Amar Masnisa Masnisa Rav Malkia. That anything that's in a Mishnah or a Braisa is Rav Malkia. Shmaitza, anything that expands on Divrei Amaram is Rav Malkia. V'simanech Masnisa Malchasa. The Masnisa is Malchasa. Malchasa is like Malkia as opposed to Malkio. My benayu, what's the difference between these two? Ika benayu shvachos, because shvachos is in the Mishnah, yet it's Rav Malki Yo. So says the Gemara in Avaiter, Rav Shim Galiel Omer, Rav Shim Galiel says that she has to do some even little labor to make sure that she doesn't go nuts. Says the Gemara, Ainu Tanakama. So Rav Shmuel Lila is telling us the same thing as Rav Elazar, that she has to do something, because if she doesn't do something, bad things are going to happen. Says the Gemara, Ika Benayel de Metola Vigarayasa Kitaneasa Vinid Rashir. Note that it's if she plays with little puppies or if she plays chess. So if all she's doing is like playing chess or like playing with a little dog, then we're still afraid that she's going to engage in znus, but we're not afraid that she's going to go nuts, because the only people who go nuts are people who sit totally idle. But we're still afraid that she's going to engage in znus. Okay, says the next mission now. Hamader es ishta mitashmesh amita. If a person is mother or his wife from tashmesh amita, what does this mean? Rashi says it can't be that the guy is saying to his wife, you can't have hanoas tashmesh from me, because the guy is chayiv min haTorah, sher ksus va'ona lo yigra. The guy is chayiv min haTorah to provide his wife with hanoas tashmesh. What he's saying is, I'm taking an eder, he's saying an eder that he's not going to have hanoah of tashmesh from his wife. So Beis Shammai Omrim Shesha Basos. Beis Shammai says we give him 2 weeks. So if he hasn't backed out of the neder after 2 weeks, then he has to divorce her. Bezilul Omrim Shabbos Achas. Bezilul says no, that we give him only 1 week. Now, since we're talking about Ona, HaTalmidim Yotzim LaTalmud Torah Shelo Bershus Shloshim Yom. Talmidim can go and learn for 30 days even without Rishus. HaPoalim Shabbos Echas. And the Poalim can leave for a week even without Rishus. Tosfos says over here, the Chiddush is that even though we're going to say that a Talmud Chacham, that is not Ona, but Talmud Chacham is Me'erev Shabbos. L'Erev Shabbos is once a week. So if the Ona, but Talmud Chacham is once a week, how could he go leave for a month to learn? So the answer is, because even though typically the Zman Ona is once a week, the woman will have a certain Hana, she'll have a certain receptivity to her husband going to learn. And similarly, even though the business person is Zman Ona is twice a week, still the woman will be mochel in order for him to go make money. So Ona Amura Betorah. So the Ona Amura Betorah. So when, and the Mepharshim point out that when we say Ona Amura Betorah, it doesn't mean that the Torah specifies as Zman Ona for these people. The Torah specifies that there's a mitzvah of Ona. The Chachamim said how often this mitzvah of Ona needs to be performed, just like by Melechas Cholamoed. The Torah says that you're not allowed to do Melech on Cholamoed. The exact parameters of the Isra Melech on Cholamoed, that's up for the Chachamim to set. So Ona, Mura, B'Torah, Tayola, Mechol Yom, some people who are men of leisure have to provide their wives with Ona every day. HaPolim, Shtayim, B'Shabbos, Polim, twice a week. HaChamorim, Echas, B'Shabbos, donkey drivers once a week. HaGamolim, Echas, L'Shoshim Yom, camel drivers every 30 days. HaSafanim, Echas, L'Shisha Chadoshim, sailors every 6 months. Divrei Rebbe Eliezer, these are the words of Rebbe Eliezer. And again, Tosfa said that even though ordinarily speaking, the Zman Ona might be a little bit more frequent, on occasion, a person is allowed to take leave of his wife for even a longer period of time if we think the wife would be happy with what he's going to do. For example, to learn Torah or to go make money and do a little bit of business. All right, we'll stop here again. Hopefully the rabbi's flights will be on time. He'll be back tomorrow. We'll pick up from the Gemara tomorrow. God willing, everybody have a great day.